Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com. Our third, fourth, I'm losing count of how many podcasts we're doing because I've lost count of how many signings we've made so far. And obviously on Friday, Arsenal finally announced the signing of Canadian goalkeeper Sabrina D'Angelo from Sweden. And I have a very good guest on to talk about her presently. But before we get into that, I just wanted to point people to the Arseblog YouTube channel. I was at the unveiling of the new stadium wrap designs on Wednesday evening. I'm sure everyone listening to this will agree. Really kind of great how much representation there is for the women's team on there. I've had to keep really quiet about that for a good 9 months now because I've been involved in the consultations, and seeing the final product has just been so brilliant. And there's a little video explainer there from me on, first of all, on how kind of the concepts came about, but also I got the opportunity to interview Anita Asante and Leanne Sanderson, two Arsenal legends who feature on the wrap. So there is a video for each of those interviews, and two players who really deserve to prominently be displayed on the stadium as they are. So just point you towards that. But this is going to be the Sabrina cast. The third or fourth, depending on how you view Gio Quiros being recalled from her loan period. But so to discuss Sabrina D'Angelo with me is the co-host of Their Pitch podcast and Swedish journalist and broadcaster Amanda Zasa. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Super excited. This is the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been, I guess, you've been quite close to this story. Obviously, look, the signing was announced today, but obviously with these things, they happen quite a long time before. What's your kind of, I guess, your understanding of the timeline of this deal? And Sabrina did mention in her interview with the club, you know, that it's kind of been in the offing for a while.
Yes, yeah, so my understanding is that after the season in Sweden ended in November, my understanding was that a local newspaper, I think it's called NSK, if I'm not mistaken, went out and they actually mentioned that Arsenal was an option for her. And a couple months later, or about a month and a half later, I get a message that says, hey, it's a done deal. If you want to check your sources, go ahead, but it should be done. So I double check it 1, 2, 3 times. Everything checks out. Everyone has the same story. So I decide to go for it and I make an article for Fotbollskanalen where I work, and we go out with it, and it's a banging article. It gets, you know, a lot of like people read it and they're clicking it. They think it's exciting, and it caused some mayhem on Twitter as well. So I think it was like up in the air, like even in November. Otherwise, I don't think they would have reported on it back then. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know what that anxiety is like, and it's nice, isn't it, when all your sources say the same thing and it's relatively straightforward. That doesn't always happen. But just to get on to Sabrina, you know, because she spent 4 years in Sweden. Now we know Canadian footballers in the women's game very well travelled, not least because they still don't have a professional league, although I think they will do very shortly. But it seemed like quite an incongruous move for a Canadian to go to Sweden. I'm not going to try and pronounce the name of the team that she was playing for. I'm going to let you do that and take my lead from your pronunciation. But you know, after 4 years in the NWSL, did it seem like quite a, not quite a strange move, but quite a surprising move for her?
You know what? I actually I used to watch the NWSL. I followed the league quite closely before I became a journalist. And I remember all the highlights. They would just, you know, they'd scream out, D'Angelo, D'Angelo, you know, D'Angelo with the ball. And I somehow when I started working, I didn't actually follow Damallsvenskan very very close at all before I started working with it. But obviously when I then saw her on the team sheet, I was like, oh, I know who that is. She plays like she used to play in the NWSL. So that was kind of like my connection with it. But if you look at Damallsvenskan nowadays, it's become kind of like a league where you kind of develop. Like it's where you come if you want to, you know, develop your skills or if you want to take that step out to Europe. Now she hasn't been in Sweden for that long. So now she's taking that step out to you know, England, to Arsenal. And I think, you know, Sweden is like a good middle step for anyone who wants to come and play in this league. I think another Canadian that's under contract with the Swedish team is Evelyn Bien. She had a really, really good season last season. I think that, for example, like she's also a Canadian, but I think we might see her out with the bigger teams in Europe as well, like in a couple of years maybe. So I think that's to deal with Saps as well.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Arsenal have a Swedish coach as well, so very familiar with the league. You know, Everton obviously have very, very strong links with Scandinavia, and there are a lot of agents that work well between those two leagues, and Everton have a Danish coach. So, you know, I think it's certainly something we'll see more and more. But, I mean, she spoke, Sabrina, when she left, about how much the club means to her. Is it Vittsjö?
It's Vittsjö.
Vitra, okay. but she, you know, she spoke about, like, you know, that the club really meant something to me, and you know, she was there for 4 years, so she must have really settled in the country as well as, you know, the league and everything else.
Yeah, it's not a very big, you know, a big place where she used to live. It's not a big city, and my understanding of the club environment that she was in, it's kind of like a family. It's a very family like oriented club where I think they have retired people that come in and take care of children that are like Katrina Gore, for example. She's had a child, so they have retired people that come in and, you know, take care of these kids and babysit them. So my understanding is that you're there for the club and the club will be there for you, is my understanding about Vitra. And I think, otherwise, I don't think she would, like, if you're not comfortable, I don't think you would have been there for 4 years, you know? Mm. So I think that's the way they do things. Like, it's like a little family, I would say, that club.
Yeah. And that's actually, you know, you saying that's a little bit of a theme of some of Arsenal's recent signings, like Katrina Kaur from Nordjylland and also Kaylin McKersey from Kyrgyz. When I spoke to her a couple of months ago, she very, very much described Kyrgyz in very, very similar kind of terms about it being a real family club and players staying together and things like that. But, you know, we talked about that potentially being a bit of a surprise move 4 years ago that she's really taken to. But do you think this is quite a surprise move for her? Because a lot of Arsenal fans kind of raised their eyebrows and kind of said, you know, Manu Zinsberg has been a very firm first choice, really liked by Jonas Eidevall. It's a World Cup year. And Sabrina, you know, there's very strong competition for the, always has been for the Canada goalkeeper shirt. They've always been strong in that position. Are you surprised that she's coming to Arsenal now?
I'm not surprised, actually, because I feel like she's been one of the stronger goalkeepers in this league for a long time now. And Jonas, for example, even though I know that he really likes Manu and values her very highly, you have to remember that he also used to work as a coach in Sweden. So he's seen her. He's probably followed her very closely since, and maybe even, you know, like her playing style. Otherwise, I don't think he would have said yes to her coming to Arsenal. Mm. So I think that he's really had an eye on her ever since he left and went to England. And that would make sense because she is a goalkeeper. She is a good goalkeeper. Although, you know, Manu is... She's really good. And I don't know if Sabrina D'Angelo is there yet. I don't know if she's as good as Manu is. But I think that in the future, like, there's a lot of, like, there's space for her to develop and there's room for her to get much better. And Arsenal would be the correct environment for that, I would say. What she does have, though, is that she's very good at, just getting out those fast, long balls and start the counterattack. And maybe that's what Arsenal needs as well. And that maybe those are the qualities that they see that they might not have in Manu.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That leads me to my next question, actually, about her qualities, not least because, forgive me, my two-year-old's just entered the house, so there will be some background disturbance. But with Manu, for example, she's really improved a lot over the last 2 to 3 years. It's been remarked upon by Arsenal fans a lot. But, her contract is up in the summer. I know she's got a situation where her fiance doesn't live in the country and maybe she's not sure whether she wants to extend. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's something in that because Arsenal only just bought Kaelin McKessie in as a Marquise in as well. But what are the qualities you really associate with Sabrina D'Angelo? I'm particularly interested because if there's one weakness in Manu's game that Arsenal fans remark on a bit or where she still needs to come up to the mark a bit more is around set pieces and taking crosses. Does Sabrina have a lot of competence in that area and how would you characterise her as a goalkeeper?
Yeah, I think she's good in the aerial duels, and I think she's I think so. If that's something that Arsenal wants and is looking for, I think you're gonna get that with Sabs. I feel like she truly is like a leader on the field as well, and she knows she's had a lot of experience. You can't forget that. Like, so she's been in all different kinds of situations. So I think that I would say that she's strong in aerial duels and she's quite strong in the box. And I would also say that she's quite fast with, getting the ball moving and getting those long balls up, maybe to a Blacksinius that wants to run on them.
Yeah, that's really interesting because again, that's the next question I was going to ask is Manu. She's great with her feet in terms of her short passing and her short passing numbers. According to FBRF, she's mislaid one pass that is classified as either short or medium in 3 years. One, like those aren't the most difficult passes, but that's still like impressive accuracy on short passing. What Joe Montemurro did with Manu, though, was he rotated her with Pauline Perumanyin because he felt that Pauline Perumanyin's long passing was better, her long kicking. And so his idea was, depending on the opponents and how high they press, I will pick my goalkeeper according to that. So if they press high and I want to go over the top of them, I'm picking Pauline. So Manu perhaps hasn't got that long distribution or that long throw. Is that something that you think Sabrina has potentially?
I think that's something you guys are going to see Sabrina do a lot of times if she gets the chance between in the goal for Arsenal. I think definitely that's kind of like a thing that she does, so we'll see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm dying.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I'm sorry.
Amanda, like a lot of people in Europe recently, has been under the weather a little bit. But yeah, I think that is a key part of the way that Jonas wants to play, perhaps just speeding up that distribution. We know he likes the idea of playing on the counter-attack and those long balls that come out from the back from Leah Williamson. I mean, it sounds like she fits that profile a little bit more, perhaps, in terms of distribution.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And I think you're going to... They're two different types of goalkeepers, right? And I think I like the vision of Montemurro of, okay, well, for this situation, I'm going to use this goalkeeper, and for that, I'm going to use that one and not have like a steady number one. And I think that also gives the goalkeepers, room for them to grow and stuff like that, and be better, and challenge themselves. So I think that Sabs is going to be a good asset to the team.
And another thing on her as well, I mean, one of the things that's characterised Arsenal's goalkeepers recently, Manu, Lydia Williams, even Pauline as well, Perumanyin, so they're all quite big characters. Sabrina described herself as very warm and bubbly. Those were her words in her interview. Would you put her in the same kind of I guess, slightly extroverted character as perhaps some of Arsenal's recent goalkeepers.
Do you know what? I've actually never interviewed her, but I will tell you, and I haven't actually met her face to face. But I did cover a game that Vitória played against AIK in Sweden during the season. And she was the first player up to the kids standing there. And she went up there and she asked them, did you guys enjoy the game? And, you know, she was joking with the little kids. And I think that says a lot about a person. So my take is that Sabs is going to be, I think that she's going to be a fan favorite because she is bubbly and she seems a lot of fun. And she really takes, you know, she cares about the fans from what I could see anyway. And I don't think that was just a one-time thing that she did it in an away game with AIK. I think that that's what she does every single weekend. I don't think it's a one-time happening. Like, I think that's just the way she is. And I think, I think the Arsenal fans are going to like her.
Yeah, and I know Heather O'Reilly, who, saw her extensively at North Carolina Courage, has been very enthusiastic about the move as well. And Heather and Hayo very much fits into that kind of character as well. Just finally on Sabrina, before perhaps I ask you a quick question about some of Arsenal's other Swedish players in the squad. I mean, how do you see this move going for her? She clearly has strong international ambitions among big competition. She's coming into a club who have two goalkeepers at the moment as well. I mean, do you see her really... I mean, do you see her challenge... Well, I mean, obviously, I think she'll challenge straight away. Like, how do you see this move going for her? Do you think it will be like a little bit, maybe the first couple of months, blending her in a bit, or do you see her like really, really taking this move straight away?
I don't think that she's going to come in straight away, you know, and take the number one spot. I don't think that's what we're going to see. And we also have to remember that when a player makes a move, it's going to take time for them to adapt and get into the way that the team that they just joined, how they play it, and so on and so on. However, I do think that she's there to compete with Manu for a number one spot. And she will be there and she will compete. And I think just give her some time, let her land in the environment, let her maybe see her play a couple games against, you know, teams that Arsenal should beat and where they won't get as many shots on target on their own goal. So I think just give her some time. She's going to be there to compete. And if anything, she's going to Sinsberger is going to get something out of it because she's now competing against a better goalkeeper. And Sabs is going to get something out of it because she's there fighting for that number one spot against a better goalkeeper than what she did in Vitória. So if anything, it's only positive that you have a good goalkeeper coming in. If she's going to play or not, I'm not Jonas, but I can't see her coming in a World Cup year and not get any playing time at all because that's not what she wants, especially not after now that it's World Cup, Stephanie LeBay retired. There is a number one spot up for grabs, even though it might be Kaylin Sheridan's, I'm not sure. But there is a number one spot with the Canadian team as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that a lot of Arsenal fans suspected is that when Lydia Williams was the backup goalkeeper last season, that perhaps Manu got a lot out of that because Lydia, you know, very experienced international goalkeeper as well and a little bit older than Manu. But to close, I wanted to ask maybe about another Swedish player that Arsenal signed in the summer in Lena Hurtig, because we haven't seen very much of her so far. And actually, I feel like she's been a little bit forgotten, not least because Arsenal are adding all these attackers at the moment and they've had injuries in attacking positions. And she got an injury at such an unfortunate time. She would have played a lot over the last month or so had that not happened. But I guess as a kind of refresher, what type of player would you really say Lena is, and how do you see her fitting into this Arsenal team, particularly an Arsenal team that no longer has Beth Mead or Vivian Miedema in it for the next 9 months or so?
Hard question, because... damn it. I'm sorry again.
Okay.
I would say that... Has anyone missed that she's good with her head?
I mean, so far, I don't even think we've seen enough of her to see that. I think her two goals so far, I can't remember. Some, one of them certainly wasn't with her head, but yeah, yeah. It so was, aerial presence, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think she's good in the box. Give her some space to run on the left side, and it's a tough situation with the national team as well because you have Rolfa on that side as well, who obviously is superior in this case. Rolfa is one of the best players, you know, in the world. So it's hard for her to compete against that as well. But she is highly valued in the national team. And I think once she gets in that groove and she's not injured and she gets to play, I think you're going to see a lot of qualities that you actually like. And when she scores, she scores.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think someone who will probably be a crucial player in the second half of the season. But Amanda, I'm going to give you in your throat a break.
Thank
now,
you.
Because you've really soldiered through that 20 minutes or so, and we're really, really grateful. So thank you very much. We will have you back on, hopefully, when your voice is in fine fettle.
When it's normal, when I sound normal.
Thanks very much for your insight. And yeah, we'll definitely have you on the podcast again, not least because I don't think Arsenal are ever going to lack for Swedish and Scandinavian players in the next few years. So, you know, your insight, Mia's insight, or just Amelia as well, who came on and spoke about Catherine Kuhl. You know, I think Arsenal's going to be a very Scandinavian club. So we'd love to have you back on very soon.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Just shoot me a DM or a text message and I'll be down.
Excellent stuff. Well, thanks very much to Amanda Sasa, who you can find on Their Pitch podcast, where they get amazing guests, really. Some of, you know, the top kind of Swedish players, Scandinavian players. Really, really good archive of podcasts there, particularly for our Scandinavian listeners. But so that's all on this edition of the Arsenal Women Ask Cast. I do think there will be call for another one because I think there is, well, I know there is going to be another signing, another forward coming in. And Amanda's face is lit up because she's already done some reporting on that one for us. But I will try and find a guest who is fluent in the Portuguese league, perhaps, to give us the lowdown on the next signing. But until then, thanks so much for downloading, for listening as ever. And we will be with you with another podcast, certainly before the end of January, put it that way. Take care and speak to you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.